Welcome to Advisory Insights Podcast, brought to you by Obermann Law Firm, a leading law firm serving clients across multiple industries and sectors on a local, regional, and national basis. And now, here's your host, Stuart Obermann.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Advisory Insights. Stuart Obermann here, your host. And today, I want to talk about why a dentist may lose their license. First and foremost, as we all know, that dentists have a specific license to practice in that particular state where their office is located. So what happens is that we get these questions a lot. What does it take for a dentist to have a license suspended or an infraction or impose sanctions, revocation, and ruin a dentist's career? So I want to walk through a couple of things that we see on a regular basis where our dentists run into problems. First and foremost, each state has some type of Dental Practice Act, and that will vary on professional markets, and it's enforced by each state's State Board of Dentistry. So I want to take a look at and outline specific behaviors that will jeopardize the revocation, suspension, or termination of a dentist license. First, we have the standard of care violations, if you will, and that involves misdiagnosis, incompetent care, gross negligence, where it is so egregious that there's no reason why this dentist should ever be practicing their profession. So then we get into another area, unprofessional conduct. So what is that? That encompasses a lot of things. That's mishandling or altering records, incorrect or fraudulent information that is being submitted to insurance companies. Now we get into the False Claims Act, RAC audits. There's a lot of things that go into that. And then also one area that is really overlooked is false or misleading advertisement to the public. What are our dentists advertising? Are they specialists? Do they come within certain areas? And are they misleading just to get the patients in the door? Another area of mishandling areas are mishandling prescriptions or drugs. This is where our doctors fail to keep accurate inventory, where they do not keep track of what comes in, what comes out, prescriptions, dates, times. The DEA outlines certain specifics that should be followed. And also, states have each regulatory area for pharmaceutical distribution and keeping an inventory. So it's imperative that our doctors know exactly what those processes are and ramifications. Another area which is really grossly overlooked is substance abuse. I would say this is probably one of the most common areas where our doctors get into trouble. They don't self-report. They lie on their annual applications. They do not come forward and notify the regulatory boards that, look, I have a problem. I'm getting help. And here's what I want to do. What happens is they spiral out of control, enormous substance abuse, including, you know, alcohol, drugs, and they don't get treatment and they don't self-report to the board. If they're getting help and you're not a danger to the public, it really, really works out in most cases to self-report because you're put on an outline with the board as to certain conduct you need to be aware of and hold yourself to before it spirals out of control. Now we get into criminal charges or arrests. So this is going to vary from state to state, but licensing boards consider, you know, certain offenses that could run the risk of suspending or revoking a dentist's license, which includes driving under the influence, criminal charges for drugs, arrests, or failure to report, an arrest. Those are all grounds for potentially losing a license. So once you get into the criminal charges, you have to be very, very careful on the steps that you take in order to report to the board those areas. Then we get into sexual misconduct, which is a huge problem in dentistry. What does that include? You know, unwanted advances, sexual abuse, assault, sexual harassment, inappropriate relationships with employees or patients. These are all grounds for having enormous problems with the board, whether it's revocation, suspensions. So then we get into really the office practices, right? What are your internal operations? Do you have an incompetent staff? Do you have an incompetent structure? Do you keep accurate records? Do you overbill patients? What are your internal operations? So then I get the question of what happens if we get a complaint? So initially, either you have a formal complaint is filed, you know, by a patient, staff, a colleague, maybe a healthcare provider. So, but you have a process for the initial complaint to be filed. Then we get into the investigation. The board launches an investigation, right? What are the merits of the case? What do they determine are factually correct? They want clarification as to what happened, how it happened, and they also want a doctor's response. Most of our doctors take this too lightly. They give a one paragraph sentence as to what happened. You can't do that. It is a very, very formal response. Then we get into the disciplinary side. You know, a lot of the boards have what we call consent orders, where the board has found that, you know what, it is of merit what the complaint is. They offer a consent order, which is an alternative agreement of certain conduct that has to be done as required by the board, instead of getting into the hearings and then determining punishment. So basically, the consent order is basically an agreement between the board where you agree to the board sanctions, if you will, and remediations. Those, a lot of times, are better than going to a formal hearing where you could potentially lose your license. So if there is a hearing, the board will have a formal hearing, and then they will determine whether or not the complaint is necessary. And this is actually a legal proceeding where you can have, in most cases, an attorney to represent you. And then if you disagree with the board's decision, in most cases, you have a chance to appeal to a state or superior court, depending on your jurisdiction. So those are a couple of things that are really, I could talk about each topic for probably an hour, but I wanted to give it top of mind as to some of these things we look at, what we see, as to why a dentist may lose their license. Thanks for joining our podcast. Stuart Oberman here, your host. If you have any questions, please feel free to give us a call, 770-886-2400, or email Stuart, Stuart, at obermanlaw.com. Thanks and have a fantastic day.